Welcome to another inspirational teaching from Bridge Family Church. This message was recorded live at our weekly Sunday service. For more information, visit us online at www.bridgefamilychurch.com. We hope that you'll be encouraged and challenged as you listen to this week's message.
Well, as you all know, Pastor Mike is away in Romania today, doing an awesome work of God over there. But because of that means you guys get me instead this morning. Yay! So a few months back, Pastor Dave sat Ian and I down in our Tuesday morning meeting, and you know, just as we do every Tuesday, and he goes, yeah, you guys are going to preach sometime during the summer. And Ian's like, oh, yeah, okay. And I'm like, I don't know about that. It's not really my thing. I'd just really rather not. Mostly because I feel like, one, I communicate a lot better with children than I do with adults. And two, I'm probably the world's most awkward person. So you're just going to have to deal with it. So I told Pastor Dave I didn't really want to preach because it was kind of really outside of my comfort zone. And alas, you have me this morning. So I really hope that he will be listening to this podcast later so that he can hear that little shout out. So I'm just going to go ahead and open us up in prayer, and then we'll just jump right on into the words. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just bringing us all here today safely on this beautiful day, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit just move in this place. I just pray that everyone in here just has open hearts and ears, Lord, just to receive whatever you have for them, Lord. And in your name, amen. So, like I said, I'm the world's most awkward person, so I really just, this service could just go a number of different ways, but it's going to be great. So like I said, I definitely communicate with children a lot better than I do with adults, and that is because 2 years ago, before I moved out here to Scotland, I spent the last 10 years working in childcare of some sorts, whether it was as a nanny or a nursery school teacher. Basically, any type of childcare, I did it for 10 years. And my favorite part of childcare was always story time. I love telling stories. I love reading books. I just love it. So today, a lot of what our sermon is going to be, it's going to be a lot of storytelling, a lot of scripture, a lot of going back to storytelling, a lot of scripture, and then we're just going to mash it up all together and see what God has to say. So that is that. So as most of you guys know, actually, I feel like you all know, I am from America. If you don't know what part of America I am from, I'm from the western side of the states, from a place called Arizona. And in Arizona, there is a small village there called Havasupai. And Havasupai is a small Native American village in the northern part of the state. And within the small village it would probably be, to the naked eye, a desert wasteland. When you look at it on the map, it seems like it's in the middle of nowhere. You actually don't even know if it's on the map, actually. But in the middle of this desert wasteland, there is the most beautiful piece of paradise that, oh gosh, I've ever laid my eyes on, and I think a lot of people have ever laid their eyes on. So it's filled with, I actually have some pictures here of it. It's filled with amazing blue waters and waterfalls, and just, it is paradise in what seems like the middle of the desert. So with a small fee and a reservation, you can have access to this amazing piece of paradise in the middle of nowhere in northern Arizona. However, there is a small catch. Havasupai is 12 miles down a canyon, and there are only three ways to get there. You can hire a helicopter, you can hire a mule, or you can pack everything into your pack, something quite similar to this, put it on your back, and you can carry it down 12 miles to this place by yourself. Well, not by yourself. You'd be with people. But you would carry everything. You would pack all your food, your water, your clothes, your sleeping bag, everything that you would need for however long you're going to be there onto your back, and you would hike to this beautiful, amazing paradise. So when I was in college, I was a part of a campus ministry group called Chi Alpha, and we went on this trip every spring holiday. We would spend 3 days out of our spring holiday going on this trip. We'd hike in one day. We would spend the whole day there. We'd stay the night, spend the next day, and then hike back out on the third day. So you've just spent almost 30 miles just hiking throughout the course of the 3 days, swimming and jumping into water, and just having a blast. Now, there is a very crucial part to this trip, and that is because you're having to carry everything on your back, it is very, very important that when you are packing, you pack the absolute bare minimum. Sorry, that's just bothering me there. So the more that you pack onto your back, obviously the heavier it's going to be, the more it's going to hurt you in the long run. So you want to pack nothing but the absolute necessities on that trip. It's fine. It's fine. So my first point today is, what are you carrying? So one year on this trip, we had a kid called Chris. He came on this trip. We could already tell from the very beginning that poor Chris had overpacked. He had a bag very similar to this, but on the bottom there's these little straps here. He had packed on this metal camping bed, very similar to the camping bed that Mary had let us donate for Holiday Club. So if you guys remember what that looked like, or if you felt the weight of that camping bed, it's very heavy, and it's not something that you would bring on such a trip like this. So we're looking at this kid, and we're like, all right, you know, he says he can do it, so that's fine. We're just gonna let him do his thing. So we get down to the bottom of the canyon, and we're playing games, and we're eating dinner, and Chris was hurting real bad, but we're like, you know what? He said he could do it, so, you know, he's just going to have to suffer through the weekend. And so we're sitting there, you know, like I said, eating dinner and everything, and I'm sitting next on the edge of the table, and I see Chris, and he's rummaging through his bag, and he opens up his bag, and he pulls out a laptop, which... And when I mean laptop, I don't mean, like, this is my laptop. It's quite small. It's still, I would never bring it on that kind of trip, but it is quite small and light. But his laptop was like, it was like the church laptop size. Like, it was heavy. It was like a brick. And at that moment, we were just like, what is this kid thinking? Like, why would you bring a laptop on such a trip that you have to carry? First of all, you don't get Wi-Fi down there. So we asked him, and we said, hey, man, like, why did you bring your laptop? And his reasoning was he wanted it in case we wanted to listen to music, which was a bit strange, because we're like, well, why couldn't you just bring, like, a speaker or something, or, like, headphones? I don't know. But anyways, in the long run, that decision to bring his laptop ended up hurting him greatly because of that extra weight that he decided to carry because he thought that it would be a good idea. He actually couldn't physically make it out of the canyon with all of that weight that he had brought into the canyon. So what he had to do was eventually ask people on the last day to distribute his weight and ask people to carry some of his weight out of the canyon. So as I was trying to just rack my brain on these past really couple months, of just what I wanted to preach on, this story was the first thing that came to my mind, and how applicable it is to our spiritual lives as well. Because how often in our lives do we try to carry things that we think will be beneficial in the end? We think they might come in handy one day, or even things that we know they're not beneficial, but we still can't seem to shake them off. You know, whether it's things like unforgiveness or anxiety, insecurities, jealousy, addictions, or even worries about the future, we carry all this excess weight just because our human minds think that it's a good idea. Because the devil creeps in and tells us that these are the things that we need to carry through our lives. And in the beginning, the weight of it doesn't seem so bad. In the beginning, you put your pack on or you put these things on like anxiety or jealousy, unforgiveness, and you're like, oh, it's not so bad. You know, I can do this. But the further you go and the further you carry these things, the heavier those burdens begin to get. And it seems like we have them under control, but the reality of it is we don't. So in the end, they do end up hurting us, and they end up weighing us down until we physically can't carry them anymore, just like with Chris and his laptop and some of the other things that he had brought in. But God says in his word in Psalms 52:22, to cast your burdens unto the Lord, and he shall sustain you. And we also read in Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So like I said before, this particular story, Chris did eventually make it out of the canyon after the 3 days, and that was because he had to eventually lay his pride down and say that he couldn't actually do it anymore. And when he did that, there were friends that were ready and willing and waiting for him to come to them and say, can you help me? And it's so much like that we see God is also waiting and willing and ready to help carry our burdens, to give us the daily strength that we need. And in those moments where we feel like we're forced to do life on our own, when we're hurting, when we're broken, when we're just carrying far more than we can handle, and we feel like we have nowhere to turn, we have to remember that we do have a God who is stronger than we will ever be, and we have a God who is ready and willing to take our burdens. So Scripture describes this great exchange of our burdens for a peace, for the peace of God. And like we just read in Matthew 11, we'll read it again. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy in burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You have a God who loves you so much that he offers to take your burdens off of your own shoulders and place them onto his and give you peace in return. Where does your life feel heavy today? Where do you feel buried under all the burdens of the world? God offers you his peace today if you'll just take some time to align yourself with him and yoke yourself to the teaching of Jesus. In Matthew 11, Jesus presents us with an image of two animals sharing the burden of working together. The point Jesus is making here is in reference to coming under his teaching. He asks, to take my yoke upon you, to learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He isn't asking us to simply just cast our burdens onto him, but also to humble ourselves and submit to his teaching. And if we're willing to come underneath him as our teacher, then we no longer have to carry the burdens of figuring out life on our own. And you serve a God who doesn't want you to live even one day burdened. Every day you can wake up and choose to yoke yourself to your Heavenly Father and his word, to align your mind with what he says about you and casting off every burden or every opinion other than his. So another crucial part of this hike is making sure you have the right kind of backpack and equipment. So this here is mine. This is my pack, and it has done a number of different hikes. And today I actually packed it in a very similar manner of how I would pack it if I was actually going on this trip to Havasu Pi. So with that being said, I'm going to ask my friend Kayla to come on up here. She's going to demonstrate for us how to properly put this pack on. Well, first I want you to just pick it up. It is quite heavy. I did not weigh it before this, so I have no idea how much it weighs. So go ahead and put that on. All right. Thank you, Kayla, for demonstrating that. Yeah, you can just, doesn't have to be. Perfect. Awesome. Thank you very much, Kayla. So like I said, the way that these backpacks are designed is to keep the weight off of your shoulders. And if you're not strapped in correctly, just like carrying burdens and carrying weight that you shouldn't be carrying, if you don't have the proper equipment, you can hurt your body even more if you carry it on your shoulders for the entire journey. So my next point is, do you have the right equipment? So another year we went on this trip, and there was a kid who did not have the proper type of pack for this outing. He did not have one similar to this. So rather than buying one, or rather than borrowing one from one of our friends that had extras, he decided that he was gonna bring his uni backpack, so just like his book bag. And so he put that on his back, and he strapped his sleeping bag onto the top somehow. It was really quite comical to see, and I wish that I could have found a picture, but I did not find a picture. But he decided that this was the best way to do this trip, rather than spending money on a pack or trying to find somebody to borrow one from. So he carried the entire weight of his pack on his shoulders directly for a round trip, 24-mile hike. And because the weight of his pack was on his shoulders and not distributed evenly onto his hips the way that it was intended to be, he was not only hurting for the entirety of this trip, but he was hurting for days afterwards because of that choice that he made. Our shoulders were not designed to carry things like this for long distances. But the way that the rest of our body, the way that our hips and our waist and our legs were designed, they were designed to carry such weight. So when we are fitted properly with the correct equipment, and we are then able to sustain such weight for a great longer distance. So as Christians, we are given equipment to help us in our daily walk. And when it is used properly, it is designed to help us in our lives and in our relationship with Christ. So the first thing that we can equip ourselves with is Scripture, the Word of God. And I think that sometimes, because the Bible is so easily accessible to us, we tend to take it for granted sometimes. And I know that I definitely do. And I fall in and out of the time that I should spend reading my Bible. But sometimes we also forget that the Word of God is living, and it is breathing, and it is active, and it is full of life and truth and encouragement and healing and power. And it's not just a book that should be sitting on our night table to look good, but it is a tool that is used to equip us for this life. And it should be a tool that is used so that when we get burdened down, that when we're being told that we're anything less than what God says that we are, we can open this book and we can pick ourselves back up, and we can say, no, this is who God says I am in this book. And we can turn to a God who says that we are worthy and that we are loved and that we are redeemed. So when we equip and arm ourselves with Scripture properly, it makes it so much harder for those burdens to bring us down. The next thing that we can equip ourselves with is prayer. So very much like the entire sermon that Mike did last week on prayer, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he created an open communication line to him. God desires relationship with us. He relentlessly pursues us because he loves us and desires to be close with us. And just like any friendship or relationship here on this earth, the less that we communicate with our friends and our families that we're close with, the more distant that relationship becomes. And that's just how it is with God as well. The less that we communicate with God through prayer, then the more distant our relationship with him becomes. We were created to be in community with God. So the more we pray and the more we talk with him, the more we cry out to him, the more we come to him with our sorrows and our joys and our troubles, our thanksgiving, the more our relationship begins to grow and grow, and the more God then talks back to us and fills us with his blessings and his knowledge and his love. And the more we equipped ourselves with prayer, the more he eases the heaviness of this world. And lastly, in this point, he equips us with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says in John 14:15-31, this is kind of a long one, but we're going to go through the whole thing together, so it's up on the screen. He says in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, and you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world?" And Jesus replies, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And these words you hear are not my own. They belong to my Father's who sent me. All this I have spoken while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than me. And I have told you so much. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. And I will not say much more to you, for the prince of the world is coming, and he has no hold over me. But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." And then in the beginning of Acts 2, we see this promise come to pass, and it reads in verse 2, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from the heavens and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came down to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and beginning to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Jesus promised us a helper and the proper equipment who will help us, who will be with us to teach us, to help us take off the weight off of our shoulders. Not to take it completely away, but to make life a whole lot easier. When we give our lives to Christ and we allow him to come in and change us from the inside out, if we are willing to seek him, if we allow him to come in and give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do a good work in us. In Hebrews 13:12 or 13:20, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Work in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." God will always equip you with the things that you need to do his will. He will always equip you to do the things that we need, or to give us the things that we need when we are hurting. And he will always equip us with the proper equipment we need until we get to see him one day again in eternal glory. So, are we properly equipping ourselves? Are we reading our Bible? Are we praying? And are we seeking the Holy Spirit? So my last point in my sermon today is, what are you chasing? Or are we chasing adventure? Uh-huh. The first time I did this trip, I'm going to show a picture of me on the first time I did this trip. It's on there, maybe. Yeah, you can just put it on. Then there should be a picture of me on there, up towards the bottom. Possibly, that's me. I cried. This picture was taken very shortly before. I sat on the side of the trail and I cried. I'd reached a point where I'd given up. I sat on the side and I let two little tears roll down my face behind my sunglasses. And I didn't actually let anybody see those tears, because on the outside I was trying to be like, you know, buff and brave, as you can tell, very brave in this picture. but those tears were definitely there. So after much effort and finally deciding I could not just live in the wilderness forever, I eventually made it out alive. And as we were driving back home, and I was laying in the back seat of my leader's vehicle, and my body was hurting so bad, and I was more tired than I have ever been in my entire life. I felt sick. I smelled bad. I was covered in sweat and dust. I was a mess. My Chi Alpha leader had the audacity to ask me if I would ever do this trip again. And I very quickly said, nope. I, in fact, did that trip 4 years in a row. And I know that might sound a bit crazy, because why would I repeatedly, year after year, put my body through that, the hurt, the sweat, the tears, the blisters, the blood? but there are three simple answers to why I would purposely put myself through that. You can put it back on the welcome screen. Or yeah, that one's good. and the first one being is that as human beings, we crave adventure. Whether it's going on hikes, climbing mountains, exploring new places, even things like getting married, having kids, excelling in your career, these are all types of adventure, and we all have different ideas of what adventure looks like. But at the core of our DNA, we all crave it. And very much so, not just the physical world do we crave adventure, but we crave adventure in the spiritual world as well. Our souls also crave adventure, and they cry out for more of who God is, even when we don't realize it. And our souls crave for us to take risks for things that matter and things that will be life-changing. We were born into this world as sinners, but we were also created in God's image with a spirit inside us that is seeking something so much greater than ourselves. So the second thing that made me do this trip over and over again is that I knew what was waiting for me at the end. As you can tell in the background, more of those pictures. I knew that the end result was going to be worth it. To get to the most beautiful places in life, we have to sometimes go through the hardest times. To get to those moments of pure awe, we have to work for it. And God never said, follow me, life will be easy, and then you'll get to go to heaven, and everything will be beautiful. In fact, we know that in his word, as Christians, we know that it says the complete opposite. And there are verses upon verses that state that life will be hard, and that we will suffer. And we read in Matthew 7:13-14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says, and the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered, not if, but after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. What seems like a lifetime of suffering for us is only just a little while in the light of eternity. In Isaiah 43:2, it says, when, there's that if, that when, not if, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. These verses repeatedly say, the way is hard after you have suffered. When you walk through the fires, life will get hard. And I'm sure that most of us in this room can attest to that. I know I can. But as a Christian, we also know that the eternal glory of heaven in the end is beyond worth it. We also have to remember that suffering is not always a sign of something we're doing wrong, but sometimes we suffer so that God can prepare us for something greater. And the last thing I knew was that no matter what, no matter how hard I worked, no matter how much I put into this, no matter how much I was hurting, my feet were bleeding, no matter what was happening, everything inside of me was aching and crying. I knew that the pain that I was going through on this trip was only temporary. I knew that in the end, my body would heal. I knew that I would be whole again. I knew that I would have the amazing memories of this piece of paradise to take home with me and keep for the rest of my life. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, we read, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away or suffering, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Everything that we go through in this life for Christ's sake will be worth it. As a Christian, we know that no matter what life throws at us, no matter what trials we go through, no matter what happens, we know that it is going to be beyond worth it in the end, that this life is temporary, and that the pain we feel and these burdens that we carry are temporary. God never intended for this world to be our permanent home, and he has prepared a place for us, a paradise. And after a long and hard journey, after we've carried everything on our backs for so long, our burdens, our struggles, over and over again, we get to rest in the fact that the end result is worth it. So I just want to end with, what are you carrying today? Are you carrying unnecessary weight? Are you burdening yourself with things that can be left at the feet of Jesus? And are we equipping ourselves properly? Are we strapping on the power of prayer and the scriptures and the Holy Spirit onto ourselves? And are we chasing adventure? Not just the adventure of the physical form, but the adventure of the spiritual form. And do we look at the end result and say, yes, it is worth it? Are we taking risks that seem scary at first, but we know will dive us into something so much deeper and into a deeper relationship with God? Our relationship with God is life's greatest adventure. It is truly the adventure for our soul. So I'm just going to close this in prayer now, but I just want everybody to stand as we just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for just being the God who is ready and willing and standing beside us to so gratefully take our burdens from us, to be able to just help us through this life, Lord. Lord, we thank you for being a God who sends us helpers, who sends us the Holy Spirit, who provides us with the scripture, and who opens up a communication line for us to be able to come to you with everything, Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you are a God who instills adventure into our souls. God, I just pray today that these burdens that we carry, whatever it may be, God, that we just have the strength to be able to lay them down at your feet, God. Whatever they may be, everyone in this room is dealing with things different. We all have different burdens. We all carry different things, Lord. But we all serve the same God. We all serve a God who loves us enough to exchange our burdens for peace, God. So I just pray over everyone in this room that whatever anybody is dealing with, Lord, whether it's depression or anxiety, Lord, whether it's financial issues, anything, God, that we are just given the strength